powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Bump and Stacey
on Seattle Sports.
Streaming through the Seattle Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacey Ross.
Here we go now.
Wasn't the weekend that we wanted to see. But you know what? I get to see my guy, Curtis Rogers.
What's up, Bub?
Dad vibes today.
You are dressed impeccably.
You know what? And I agree. I think you are the sharpest dude in the room right now. If you're watching the live stream, like, I never wear a button-up shirt.
Me neither.
Right?
I only wore one because I knew I was going to be on the stream for 4 hours today.
So then today I'm like, you know what? I'm going to get a little fancy. I walk out the bathroom. The wife is like, oh, you look nice today. I go, thank you. You know, I'm switching it up a little bit. Got my black button-up on with my khakis on. And I walk in the sports bin. I'm in the sports bin. Then you walk in and I go, we are the same.
We are. We're the Spider-Man meme pointing at each other because I've got a dark blue, a navy blue.
Right.
We've got sort of the dots going on our button-ups. We've got the khakis on. I didn't wear a hat today.
You got a good haircut.
I did. I thought about wearing a hat today. But, Bump, you and I dressing together has left Stacey Rost in shambles. We texted her about it. She is so mad.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what she's more mad at, though, us twinning today, or the three-game series that we just watched these Mariners have against the Texas Rangers.
If you've been listening to the show the last couple of weeks, you know that Stacey's probably hot over this series, for sure. Stacey has been a big advocate to this. Look, they haven't done enough. We're going to see what they look like against some of the best. And we saw them go up against one of the best hitting teams in the game right now. They lose the first game 2-0. Then 16-6 and 12-3. We also saw two rookies get lit up. I mean, Bryce Miller had himself a day he hasn't had in a while. His last outing wasn't great. And then we had Wu had his welcome to the MLB experience there, where his first two hits produced a run. You got to double that first hit, and then you get a score on that second hit. Just wasn't an ideal start for this young man in his career.
You know what Wu spelled backwards is? Ow. And that's what it was on Saturday when he pitched. That was a rough welcome to the bigs. But it was a tough landing spot anyway, because who else were you going to go to on Saturday with Marco dealing with that left forearm strain placed on the 15-day IL? You could have maybe brought up somebody from AAA, maybe had Chris Flexen go, but I don't think Flexen had an opportunity to go more than a couple innings because he just wasn't stretched out at that point. Brian Wu was put in an unfavorable spot, and unfortunately, it blew up in his face on Saturday, and really the entire series blew up in the Mariners' face. That was not a fun watch. That was a tough watch. That was a series where the problems that the Mariners have had this season were amplified by quite a bit, because not only could they not produce offensively against Texas's great pitching staff, but Texas showed that they are absolutely for real. They are going to be a team to concern yourself with in the American League West. And now you're 9.5 back of them on June 5th. 9.5 back of the Rangers on June 5th. No one saw that coming. And now, all of a sudden, we're kind of questioning, are the Mariners' plans for this season going the way they thought they would go?
Yeah, that's the question we're going to dive into right now, right? Is the plan working? Now, what exactly was their plan? Here we go. I'll give you a little some cliff notes right here. Rely on the draft and development, right? And we got a text from my guy, BG, and he says, look, man, over the last, seven drafts, even internationally, they haven't really hit. You got Julio Rodriguez. That's good there. What else do? They sign Julio to a major deal, a young guy, which you got to lock him down, right? Hoping that he's going to develop and grow as a ball player, but you need some pieces around him. Then also, you want to rely on the young and veteran arms. And now that's all jacked up because Marco's out, and you got Robbie Ray who's out. Our young arms have been doing okay, but Bryce comes out and has back-to-back poor outings. We see Wu, like you mentioned. Kid was in a tough position. We've seen Logan and Kirby have their days as well. So the way they've constructed this team, great pitching and power, right? And going bargain shopping, right? You sign Julio to a big deal, but you're kind of putting the pieces together. It just doesn't feel good, especially with the last three weeks we've seen. We saw the A's, we saw the Yankees, and we saw the Rangers. So we got a little bit of everything. But when you look at this game plan so far, when it comes to building this organization, Curtis Rogers, what are your thoughts? Is the plan working?
Is the plan working? This season, it's not, because you look at just the guys that they went after this offseason, in order to keep themselves financially flexible going forward, you're getting performances like Colton Wong, who's on a one-year deal, A.J. Pollock, who's on a one-year deal, Teoscar Hernandez, who's on a one-year deal. Those are the three big offseason acquisitions you had as a group, and none of them are even close to what their baseball cards are. I think you look at the draft and develop, you mentioned it, the bats of guys that you drafted or signed as international free agents, Cal Raleigh and Julio Rodriguez. Outside of that, I mean, you can kind of lump Jared Kelnick in that group, but he was not drafted by the Mariners. He was not signed by the Mariners. He was acquired in a trade all those years ago from the New York Mets. Kelnick is having the best season of his big league career. Like, there is no arguing that. But even his production has slowed down considerably over the course of the month of May here in early June. You mentioned the starting rotation, Bump. You were relying on some veteran arms at the beginning of the season. And last year, the Mariners had so much health, so much luck with health with their starting pitching. They didn't miss a single start of their five key starters. This year, Marco missing starts. Robbie Ray out for the season, probably well into next season, too. Like, this starting pitching has been great, even in the face of injury this season. But we're going to talk about it a little bit later. There's so much pressure on these guys now to keep this going without two guys that, you know, were consistently available in Ray and Gonzalez like they were a year ago.
So here's here was the plan, right? These guys wanted to hit bombs. This team was built to take the ball yard. You know how many bombs they hit against the Rangers?
It wasn't a lot. I think it was zero. It was zero.
Rangers hit six. All right. So there's one struggle right there. We were not who we were made out to be, right? Then they were outscored 30-9. And they're relying on the young pitchers. I'm sorry we're beating these dudes up to start the show. I apologize, Wu and Miller, but just to add some context to it, these guys, between the two, Miller and Wu, they gave up 13 runs, 15 hits, 6 Ks in 4 innings, right? Those two starts, when you get behind like they did, I just don't see the Mariners team being capable of climbing out of there. Then there were a couple instances where the bases are loaded. I believe Caballero gets thrown out at home because he's being aggressive running the bases, which I think you have to be in those situations because you don't know where your runs are coming for. We're just looking at the way this team was constructed, and they struggled against the really good team. So it's hard to watch. Because you felt like this organization could have done better to help these guys out, put them in a great position. But it is what it is at this point. Like, when do we stop? And this is what I thought about. When I'm watching this team, Curtis, I go, The thing that kills me the most is that you see potential.
Right?
So you see the potential. You're like, oh, my God, Julio does some things. Suarez every now and then shows up. Castillo, right? For game one, 2-0 game. You see the potential, and the potential creates pressure from within and outside the organization, because if this team had no potential, we wouldn't be sitting here like, man, what are we doing? We need more. We're not getting it done. If there were some team like the A's and we just expected them to lose, we'd take it on the chin a bit more. But I think that's the reason why we ask the questions that we do, because we know the potential of this team, but felt like it hasn't been they haven't been supported enough. You know what I mean?
How I see this season going to this point is similar to when you're a kid and your parents are driving you around and you can tell that the trip to wherever it is you're going is taking a little bit longer, and you ask from the back seat, are we lost? Like, no adult wants to hear that from their kid, because your kid doesn't know how to drive. They don't know how to get to places. Right. They don't know what they're doing. And you tell them, no, we're fine. We're good. And then 10-20 minutes later, your kid goes, I think we're lost. And it's like, no, we're not. We're fine. We're going to get there when we get there. And then all of a sudden, you're like, uh-oh, I think we are lost. And then you got to admit that, you know what, maybe the plan we had was not working in the first place, and we got to kind of, you know, come home with our tail between our legs and say, look, we got to change something. And maybe that means, you know, a roster move gets made. I saw yesterday Cade Marlowe was pulled from the Rainiers lineup. That's a name that has been kind of thrown about amongst prospects with the Mariners. He's an outfielder. Maybe he comes up and does something in the San Diego series. I don't know. You brought up Mike Ford in this Texas series. He didn't give him an immediate jolt. Maybe he gets a couple of good hits in this Padres series coming up. But what is happening right now with this team, It cannot continue if the playoffs want to be something they're striving for in 2023. Because if that is the goal, if that is the end goal of this season, you have to draw a line in the sand after this Rangers series and say no more. And what's interesting is that last year, the Mariners were 29-39, so they were 9 games worse than they are right now. If the Mariners went 0-9 over the next 9 games, they would have the same record they had last year to that point. But it feels almost like there is a much bigger climb right now, Bump, at 29-30 than there was last year, 29-39. And I think that's because the level of competition in the American League has raised significantly from 22-23.
Yeah, I agree. You know, and you got me thinking about that analogy you put out. I love it, right? The kids asking, are you lost? You know what's worse about kids these days now is that they have phones and there's GPS on the phone.
they can look up if you're actually lost.
They know when you're lost. And I feel like we're the kids with the GPS. You know why? Because we're looking at the Rangers. We're looking at the Yankees. We're looking at the Orioles. All these teams that have made the necessary moves to support their potential. And we're like, we got the GPS. We feel like we've been lost for a while, but what have we been told? It's early. Right, we're early on into the trip. We're only an hour into this trip to Eastern Washington to Pullman, where I take my kids 5 hours. They're asking me, "Are we there yet?" Every 45 minutes.
We're not even to Ellensburg.
We're not even halfway, kids. All right. So that's how I feel, and I think the way we feel about this team right now is because we were saying, "Look, maybe they should have done more," but we gave them the benefit of the doubt and said, "Let's just see how this plays out." Now, if they were getting production like they thought they were, consistently from Julio, from JK, from Cal, from Suarez, from Hernandez, on paper, it made sense. I think that's why we gave them the benefit of the doubt. But at some point of the season, I think I said June 22nd was the day before I hit panic, because that is the 77th game. You know how I love that number.
We're 17 days away.
17 days away.
From the 22nd.
So I'm not panicking, because I feel like they can beat the teams they're supposed to beat. But if you want to be a playoff team, you got to beat a couple teams that no one gives you a chance to beat.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, absolutely. And you had opportunities against the Yankees and Rangers that you clearly did not take advantage of, getting outscored, 50-13 in those 6 games against the Yankees and Rangers. Your only win came in a 1-0 shutout in extra innings, where George Kirby pitched incredible. And right now, George Kirby is the guy that I think I have the most confidence in, bat-wise or pitching-wise, on this team, to go out there and do his job consistently and show up and just give the Mariners a fighting chance. He's kind of become their stopper in a way, which is, it's a good thing for his development, but is it a great thing when you have invested so much into, like, Luis Castillo, right, into other guys on this roster? I mean, God, just going from year to year, you look at the contributions they got last year from Julio, from Cal, from Logan, from Kirby. Of those 4 guys, I think the only one I can comfortably say is better this year than they were last year is George Kirby.
Yeah.
I think Julio, if he has a monster second half, can probably get there. I think Cal is a great catcher, one of the best catchers in baseball, but it kind of feels like he's putting up the same numbers he did last year, which is fine. Like, I'll take that. But you want to see in year 2 and year 3 and year 4 of these guys is some improvement. Logan Gilbert's in year 3, and he's kind of the same pitcher he was a year ago, not allowing a ton of base runners, but also giving up some hard contact. Like, we point to a lot of the guys who have underperformed. I did it myself to start this segment. Teoscar Hernandez, Colton Wong, AJ Pollock. But needing other guys on this roster to take a step forward, Gino and Ty France, like, they're just as responsible for this 29-30 start as a lot of those guys who have underperformed.
They cannot afford a slow start because of the talent that's on the roster. Right. Other teams have guys that will allow this team to go on 6-game, 7-game runs. But you look at this roster, they just don't have the talent to have the slow start. And that's what we're seeing. So their job now is just to keep battling. Hopefully Marco gets healthy to help that pitching staff. Hopefully when Munoz comes back, you get a spark there. Now you're relying on guys like Dylan Moore as well. But man, the plan isn't working as of now. But is there still time? Of course there's time. Is it early? It definitely is not early anymore. So I think you got to look at this team for who they are and just hope that they improve, because with all the damage that's going on, one bat is not going to save this team, right? You really got to rely on what you have on your roster right now and say, all right, guys, let's pick this thing up. You know what? Let's get out of here. Headline rewrites. Let's get it.
Extra, read all about it.
Headline rewrites.
We must make headlines.
The real story behind the headlines in today's news with Bump and Stacy.
Headline number one, Bump. The Heat even the NBA Finals at one game apiece with their 111-108 win over the Nuggets last night. What's the real headline?
You know, it wasn't just Jimmy. Those role players were getting them buckets, baby. You look at that Miami Heat team, right? When they play their best, this is what happens. You get contributions from everywhere, including the bench. All right, you had Love, my guy. Didn't score a lot of points. 6 points, but he's a role player. Jimmy had 21.
A
lot of boards. Adebayo had 21. Vincent had 23. Strauss had 14. And then Duncan Robinson came alive in the fourth quarter. He was 4 for 5. He had 10 points as well. These are the type of wins that the Heat are going to have. I think the Nuggets will have the big blowout wins because once they get going, they're good. But the Heat, they keep games close. If they can keep it close and stay within striking distance, they can do this. Experts were saying sweep after one game. And I'm like, come on, you got Jimmy Buckets over there. That ain't going to go down.
Jimmy Butler would not allow for a sweep in any sort of NBA Finals scenario. And now it's an even series going back to Miami. And a Heat team that has consistently played up to their competition in these playoffs. They already took down a one seed in Milwaukee. They took down the two seed in Boston in the conference finals. They're playing another one seed in Denver. Like, they've had the toughest road a team could possibly have in the playoffs. And you know what? They have not been scared. And last night, facing essentially a must-win scenario, you don't want to go down 2-0 heading back home. They were able to pull off the victory. I wouldn't bet against Jimmy Butler, and I sure as heck would not bet against Eric Spoelstra,
man,
who has turned himself into one of the most respected coaches in NBA history, which is funny because when he was early on, it was like, oh, you're just there to ride the coattails of LeBron, D-Wade, Chris Bosh. But no, this guy has been to two NBA Finals post that era with teams that, I mean, Jimmy Butler is the name on those teams, but outside of him, it hasn't really been, you know, the big names that the Heat are known to field on their roster.
Headline rewrites.
Headline number two, Bump. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver told NBA TV that expansion is a possibility once the league secures a new media rights deal. Here is that sound in a conversation he had with Shaquille O'Neal.
Adam, last question. They want us to go, but I need to, this question answered. With everything going so well, do you see in the near future more expansion teams like you hear Seattle, you hear Las Vegas? Is that a possibility?
It is a possibility, and I think what we've said in the last few years, number one, we wanted to get our collective bargaining agreement done, so we've done that now. And the other thing, we wanted to understand what our new media rights packages are. And, you know, as Matt said, those negotiations will begin, you know, in earnest probably in this next spring. Once that's done, we'll turn to expansion. We don't have anything specific in mind right now, but I think it makes sense over time. You know, if you're a successful organization to continue to grow, there's no doubt there's a lot of great cities who are interested in having the NBA.
So, Bump, what's the real headline?
I got two for this one. First one, good old Bush. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me, you can't get fooled again. All right, and my other one is, good old Backstreet Boys, quit playing games with my heart.
Oh, yeah.
All right, we need a squad up here. And then I started thinking about the Pac-12, too. I go, well, you know the NBA is going to get a media deal done. Pac-12's been struggling. But, Adam Silver has a knack for saying the right things and keeping hope alive, right? He's done a great job being the leader in the NBA after getting the torch from Stern. But I won't see it until I believe it at this point. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But you know that once expansion comes, you know where they're going. Or they better go.
They have to go
Seattle and Vegas.
Yes.
You have to do it.
You have to. Those two markets are probably the most starved for the NBA. I think there have been a lot of rumors that LeBron one day wants to get involved in the Las Vegas ownership. There have been obviously some big names in the NBA that have said they would love to be a part of a Seattle ownership group. I think Kevin Garnett was one. Obviously, Gary Payton, I think, has said to that effect. I think Dwayne Wade is another that has mentioned potentially throwing his hat into like a role with whatever ownership group takes over here in Seattle if that comes to it. But yeah, I mean, we have heard this time and time again. I guess it's good that it's coming from the commissioner this time and not from, you know, any other reporter that's following the league. But until there is, a court being laid down at Climate Pledge Arena, I'm not going to believe it till I see it.
I feel you.
Headline rewrites.
Headline number three. Talk about the wildest rumor of the day here. The Athletic's Shams Charania is reporting Kyrie Irving has reached out to LeBron James in an attempt to see if LeBron would come to Dallas. What's the real headline?
You know whose number I don't want to see come across my phone? Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving, yeah. Right? That's like my kids use my phone to play games and all that stuff. And every now and then there's a number I see flash. I'm like, nah, you're good. I'll hit him back later. You guys keep playing your game. That's how I feel like with Kyrie Irving. And one, do you really think LeBron will leave Los Angeles? His son just signed to play for the Trojans. All right. He's got to see that through. There's a reason why Bronny went to USC to stay close to home, stay close to dad. LeBron's going to play at least another year and see what happens. Unless Bronny goes to Dallas, there's no way LeBron James is leaving Lakers. So he's going wherever Bronny goes.
Well, what incentive do the Lakers have to trade LeBron right now? They were in the conference finals this season. Like, you were that close to making it to the NBA Finals. I feel like you'd want to give it one more go with this team to see if they can win an NBA championship next year. We all know that LeBron is probably gone from the Lakers after next season anyway, because Bronny will be draft eligible wherever he gets selected. That seems to be the landing spot that LeBron will end up playing for. But you saw how combustible it was in Dallas once Kyrie Irving was traded there. The Mavericks were in a playoff position when Kyrie was traded to Dallas with Luka, and then they fell out of the playoffs, and now they ended up with a lottery pick this year. Like, Kyrie Irving cannot be the shot caller of an organization.
Beautifully said.
He cannot be the one pulling the levers, twisting the knobs, pushing the buttons. Luka, he just can't.
That's your job, Luka.
Yeah.
That is your team. Only good thing about Texas, if LeBron were to go there, man, that dollar goes a long way in Texas. Boy, I tell you that. All right. Hey, we were able to get a taste of a little bit of everything that MLB has to offer the last 3 weeks. When you talk about the Mariners, they've seen the worst of the worst and the best of the best. How did they stack up? Is the gap between the Mariners and contending teams getting bigger? We'll talk about that next. Here on Bumpus Station, you got me, Michael Bumpus, and my guy Curtis Rogers filling in for Mama Bear.
Bumpin' Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On Seattle Sports.
Here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Rost.
Curtis Rogers filling in for Stacy. I'm still here. Got Matty Ice on the ones and twos. That's Matt Nelson. If you don't know, that's my nickname, Matty Ice, for my guy back there. But man, it's all about the Mariners right now. I know we started off the show kind of hot going in. We had to react to the weekend. There's no way we're going to see 2-0, 16-6 and 12-3. And now react to that, right?
Yeah.
This is why we do what we do.
You want me to keep lifting the mood, like find reasons to lift the mood today?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, here's another one. I forgot. Right. I'm a terrible husband for not saying this off the top of the show, but happy anniversary to my wife.
Happy anniversary.
It is our third wedding anniversary today. Brenna. The reason why it wasn't at the top of my mind today is because we celebrated yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm like, oh, we celebrated. Like, yesterday was our anniversary, right? And then it's like, no, today is our actual anniversary.
You're a smart man, because I don't think you could have gone another segment without mentioning that, without Brenna getting on you, man. So thank you for lifting
3 years together. We're going to have 2 kids scheduled for Wednesday of this week, and then you won't hear from me for quite a bit.
So. Long time.
Yeah.
I'll be texting you, though.
You will. All right. I'll be feeding you guys stuff.
Appreciate it. Well, happy anniversary to the Rogers. They got a baby coming soon. So, yeah, life is good for the Rogers household, man. I like it. But, you know, it's not good for the Mariners right now, man. And what do you do when you try to figure out who your team is and how good they are? You look at the contenders in the league and say, how do we stack up against those guys? And fortunately, but unfortunately, we got a chance to see a couple contenders and had a chance to reflect and contrast and see where we're at. So the Yankees outscored the Mariners 21-6. Also, there was one home run hit by the Mariners against the Yankees, not against the Rangers. And then you look at the Rangers and the Yankees and you say, they're just getting more production out of guys they want to get production from. You got Simeon, Seager, Garcia, Lowe for the Rangers. You got Judge and Rizzo when healthy. We didn't see Rizzo, right?
We didn't.
But Judge still did his thing. You look at Rizzo's numbers and you go, all right, these guys are producing. So when you look at the gap, where it's a race, right? And the Mariners are running a different race than these guys. These guys are in the better lanes. What are the best lanes? Like ones and two, one and two, the inside lanes. You know what I mean? The Mariners are out there in lane 6-7. And they got to run a different race than these guys.
Well, that's track, right?
Track, yeah.
If we're talking swimming, aren't the best lanes like 3 and 4?
Inside.
The ones in the middle?
Inside, yeah. I'm talking track.
Yeah.
If Stacey's were here.
Stacey, you're swimming inside.
Swimming for sure.
Yeah.
But I'm talking track. So when you look at the race that the Mariners are running, and if I feel like I know the answer to this question already, but what's the gap doing? Are we closing it? How are you feeling about this so far?
It's not closing.
Not at all.
Between the Rangers and Yankees and Mariners and other good teams in the American League this season. I look at where the Mariners currently are, and I mean, they're 7-0 against the Oakland A's this season. Outside of that, they're 22-30 against the rest of baseball. And when I say the rest of baseball, I mean the rest of it, because they've played very few games in their own division, mm-hmm. Which in years past, it has been about half your season played against the American League West. Now, not so much, where you're playing 13 games against divisional opponents rather than 19, as you had in years past. So I think you're getting a better taste this year of how the Mariners stack up against the American League based off the balanced schedule. And Bump, that taste, I'm not liking it.
No, not at all.
I'm searching for something in the fridge that has a different taste to it, a flavored water of some kind or another kind of beverage just to wash it out. Because, like, you look at the numbers, just the raw, just the final scores of these games against right. the Yankees and Rangers, it's obvious that there is something missing. And look, the Yankees and Rangers have ownership groups that will not be afraid to write any sort of check that it takes to get somebody to sign with them. Like, the Rangers have gone out over the last two off seasons and signed Corey Seager, Marcus Semien, and Jacob DeGrom. And then they've also signed guys like Nathan Eovaldi, who was dominant yesterday against the Mariners. They've signed other guys, Andrew Heaney, in that rotation. They re-signed Martin Perez. Like, this is a team that has a tremendous pitching staff that has been built through free agency, that doesn't have a ton of homegrown talent on it. And yet they're still performing great without Jacob DeGrom. Like,
yeah.
I think the thing that free agency does, if executed correctly, is it raises your floor to where it's not going to bottom out the way a lot of teams who don't choose to go that route, how their floor kind of bottoms out in a way. You look at the Rangers right now, and they're 38-20. Even if it goes wrong in the second half of the season, the worst that I could see them being is probably like an 88-90 win team. I think they are going to be a playoff team this season. I feel very comfortable in saying that on June 5th.
I agree.
Same goes for the Yankees. Like, their pitching staff has a lot of, you know, it's got Gerrit Cole. If Carlos Rodon is healthy, they've got him. They've also got, you know, Domingo Germán, who has pitched really well this season, despite the suspension for sticky stuff. But the Yankees have had one losing season in my lifetime. 1992 was the last time they had a losing season.
That's crazy.
I could not imagine that run of success here in Seattle. And how do they get, you know, consistent winners? They develop prospects, yes, but they also are unafraid to go out and get proven big league talent. And talent that I think is more guaranteed to succeed at the big league level than taking flyers on guys the way the Mariners have with Teo, with AJ Pollock, with Colton Wong, all those guys who weren't free agents, but they are guys on 1-year deals that are, you know, in prove it situations.
All right, let's play a little game.
Okay.
I'm going to put you on a spot right now, but something tells me you're going to have an answer for everything I'm going to ask you right now. All right, so let's look at the Rangers. I got four players that I mentioned for the Rangers. All right, I'm just going to say the name, and you tell me who is supposed to be that player for the Mariners and how they're doing so far. All right.
Okay.
We got the man who's on a 23-game hitting streak right now. We got Semien.
Marcus Semien, the guy who that should be for the Mariners right now. It's basically their best player. It should be Julio.
Should be Julio.
Julio should be producing to a level that Marcus Semien has. I think Semien's already produced like 3 WAR this season, mm-hmm. according to Baseball Reference. Like, he is an MVP candidate for sure in the American League. So right. I think Julio should be that player for the Mariners.
How far off do you think Julio is?
I would say not that far off. Semien makes way more consistent contact than Julio. We saw in that graphic that the Rangers broadcast posted yesterday where four of the top five strikeout leaders in the American League are Mariners hitters, and Julio was one of them. So I think making more consistent contact for Julio is going to be the thing that can push him to an MVP-type finish to this season.
All right, now we got Seager. Who's our Seager? Who's supposed to be our Seager?
Boy, I mean... Seager is a shortstop, so the comparison kind of ends there, but I think Gino Suarez should be that guy that hits you 30-plus home runs, that hits about 240-ish, drives in 80-plus runs, has an OPS around 800. I think that's, in terms of bat, that's where Suarez, I think if the Mariners want to have a shot at the playoffs, Gino can't be anything less than what he was a year ago. And that's the thing, too, is that his 2022 season kind of came really out of nowhere because his prior two seasons with the Reds, he was down. He was, his contract in the Jesse Winker trade, if you remember, was kind of a throw-in. The Reds were like, you can take Winker off our hands, but you got to take Gino's contract instead. Now, it worked out great last year. It turned into the Gino Suarez trade, and the Mariners benefited greatly from it. But he's got to... The Mariners, if they want to make the playoffs, Gino's got to be what he was a year ago.
All right, I got two more for you. These guys are for the low, right? Semien and Seager are your big money guys over there. But now you got Garcia and Lowe. And Garcia, by the way, I think he leads the majors with 9 outfield assists. And he picked off somebody the other day. I forgot who that was. Garcia and Lowe. These are the cheaper guys, but have had a big impact on this team so far this year.
I think Teo should be your Adelis Garcia. And I think Ty France should be your Nathaniel Lowe. I think those are that's why the Rangers are where they're at, is because they're getting tremendous performances from all of their guys, and then also getting great performances out of guys that expectations weren't high on. Josh Jung, their third baseman, is an American League Rookie of the Year candidate. Nathan Eovaldi, a guy who was signed to, I think, just a 2-year deal, is in the running for American League Cy Young this year. Like, not only are they getting great performances out of their top guys, but also guys who were not expected to contribute a ton this year.
All right, that's how the Rangers are doing it. The guys getting paid are producing, and the guys who aren't getting paid as much are doing it as well. Man, we're going to get to Seahawks around 11 o'clock, but coming back, man, we're going to talk about the Seahawks, the Mariners pitching staff, man. They've been one of the best in the league, but there are some injuries to that rotation. How much pressure is on them now? We'll talk about that next.
Bumpin' Stacy,
powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios
on Seattle Sports.
Here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Rost.
Curtis Rogers filling in for Stacy. I'm still here, and we're still talking about these Mariners, man. The strongest part of this team over the course of this year so far, and in last year as well, has been the pitching staff, man. You got Los Bamberos coming out the bullpen. You have a great starting rotation. No one missed a start last year, so we knew that the Mariners were fortunate to get through a season without having to deal with all that drama. Well, guess what, man? The universe works in mysterious ways, and they said, look, all right, you're going to have to overcome some adversity. Robbie Ray is out for the season. Marcus Gonzalez is out for 15 days with a strained forearm. Hopefully he is good to go. So you bring up Bryce Miller, you bring up Wu, and they're forced into this rotation. Well, we saw these two guys get lit up. Castillo did his thing against the Rangers, only allowed a run. But it's always been on this pitching staff. And you felt like the pitching staff can hold it down for a little bit, and then the bats will eventually get going. I did see something that made me smile this weekend, though.
Oh, what's that?
I saw Julio get on base, and I saw Gerald Kelnick hit him in.
There we go.
So I'm like, okay, that's the connection we've been looking for. But we need a lot more of that connection, man, if we want to help out this pitching
staff. It's
always
darkest before the dawn.
That's what they say, Curtis. So what do we do? How much pressure is on this pitching staff? And do you think they can handle this pressure, especially with two of their guys being out?
I think there's a lot of pressure on this Mariners pitching staff right now. And it's pressure that I think two of these guys have never really faced in their baseball careers before, Bryce Miller and Brian Wu. And I think the book on Bryce Miller is starting to be written a little bit. Right. Two teams with great offenses got to him and got to him early, got to him often. Those five starts that he had to start his career, they're way in the past now, because
yes,
we know what it looks like when things don't go his way. And so it's going to be up to him to kind of rebound going forward. And look, to expect Bryce Miller to continue what he did to start his career every time out on the mound is irresponsible. You are not going to have a pitcher that allows just like three or four base runners every game for every single game that they pitch. Like, that's just not a fair expectation. It was incredible that he got off to the start that he did, but now he's got to figure out a way to bounce back. And then Brian Wu, I mean, look, when he came up, I think it was more curiosity than anything. I wasn't expecting a great start from him, but I was expecting just kind of like getting through maybe four or five innings,
right.
And that didn't happen. It felt to me, and I saw this take a couple of times on social media this weekend from numerous people saying the Wu promotion felt a lot like a heat check when a guy has sank, you know, three or four shots in a row in
right.
an NBA game and he pulls up from 30 feet just because he's had it going.
Yeah.
And it clanks off the rim or it airballs or whatever. Why I say that is because the Mariners have had success promoting Logan Gilbert, George Kirby, and Bryce Miller in successive seasons. And Brian Wu has had great numbers at the AA level this season. The issue is with Brian Wu, in his minor league career, how many innings do you think he has pitched total over the course of his minor league career?
How long have you been in the minors?
He was a draft pick of the Mariners in 2021.
So since you asked the question, I'm just going to go low.
It's very low.
10.
No, it's more than that. He has only thrown 101 innings in his minor league career. And then in college, over the course of three seasons, he only threw 69.1 innings, a nice number. So he has very little experience throwing over the course of an entire season.
So you say 100 innings. What's typical? How many?
Far more than 100, because 100 innings over the course of a full season is not even a full season's
right.
worth of. It's like, you know, 20 starts, uh-huh. 21 starts, something like that. For comparison's sake, let's look at George Kirby. Over the course of his minor league and collegiate career, George Kirby threw more than 350 innings.
Okay.
Logan Gilbert, I'm thinking, probably threw a little bit more than that. He also had the COVID-shortened season in 2020 where he didn't get to throw any minor league innings that year. So he had 140 innings, not counting 2020, which he probably would have spent in the minor leagues that entire season had it happened. So Brian Wu just doesn't have a ton of experience, and now you're bringing him up in June. And if things go right, he's probably going to be a part of your starting rotation the remainder of the season.
Mm-hmm.
From June onward, you could probably get to that 100-inning marker if you're out there consistently throwing five or six innings the rest of the season. That is a ton of pressure to throw on a guy that just simply doesn't have that prior experience. And maybe you bring Chris Flexen back in your rotation, maybe just to give these young guys a breather. Maybe you bring up Tommy Malone. I know saying Flexen Malone, and there are people tuning in, they're like, why would you ever have those guys in your starting rotation? There's no point to bringing them up, especially if they haven't been good this season. But look, that's the reality of the situation. Say what you want about Marco Gonzalez, and I've been critical of him in the past, but there's a greater chance of him right now throwing five or six innings prior to that injury than there is right now for Brian Wu.
Yeah, you don't know what you got till it's gone. And people criticized Robbie Ray a lot last year, but don't forget the summertime he held it down. You talk about Marco. Yeah. People criticize Marco. He doesn't have the heater. He's got to be perfect. Yeah, he probably does have to be perfect, but he's been really good this year. So now this is the situation you are in. Thankfully, all right, on tomorrow, Tuesday, play the San Diego Padres. You got Gilbert on the mound, followed by Kirby. Then you have Castillo. I think these next three games are going to be crucial. The Padres had a good showing a couple days ago against the Cubs, and they lose, 7-0 or 6-1 or something like that. They haven't been the team that they're kind of in the same situation as the Mariners, honestly. Like, they're fourth in the NL West, right? They lost a few more games than the Mariners, but they have a lot of potential on that team, and they went out and spent some money, and they're not performing. What you cannot be for the Mariners is the team that gets everybody right. You know what I'm saying? You got to be
Please.
The guy who gets right against some of these teams. So, yes, I think there's a lot more pressure on this rotation, but especially these young guys who don't have the experience that you mentioned. If there's any positive that came out of this, okay? We get to see exactly who Bryce Miller is. He had a beautiful five starts to start his career, dominant. Then he gets lit up a couple of times. Woo, he throws two pitches. He's already down 1-0. He gets lit up in two innings. If there's anything positive that comes from getting your butt kicked, is that now you've been there and you can adjust. So these veterans have to hold it down. And young veterans as well. He's not even a veteran. You got Logan, you got Kirby, and you got Castillo. I mean, they got to take the team on their back and say, all right, let's do it. Okay, we are going to give the Mariners a break, Curtis. We've been on them, okay? We're going to give them a break, and we're going to shift gears and start talking about the Seahawks. The Seahawks have had a great offseason on paper, but there's still some questions that need to be answered. We'll do exactly that. It's Bump and Stacey. Curtis Rogers filling in for Stacey.